Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome to the Tuesday edition of RotoWire NFL Fantasy Sports. It's Joe Bartle and Jake Litarski along with you again to take you through the lead up, really, the lead up to the NFL season and your fantasy draft season. Of course, when the season's going on, we are doing your free agent breakdowns, getting you all set throughout the week. But as we're kind of maneuvering to fantasy football season, really, truly fantasy football season, and the start of the preseason NFL season, we're doing more of the tips and tricks. I think this is the best way I'd say it is if my mom was going to play fantasy football, I'd want her to listen to this podcast because it's a really good way to get inundated and get yourself ready for it. And maybe if you haven't paid attention or slacking a little bit, that's what myself and Jake are here to do for you. So I'm excited to have this podcast, and we'll be going over a few of the do's and don'ts in particular for your fantasy drafts. And again, maybe more basic knowledge, but We're here to help the new people out. I think that's our goal, right, Jake?
Exactly. You know, I want to get a little bit of the best of both worlds. So we're going to start off with some training camp news and notes, important stuff that, you need to know if you missed the last couple afternoons of action. And then, we'll move into some draft day do's and don'ts. Some of the tips are pretty basic. Some of them I tried to put a little more analytics behind to make you think a little bit more. Some are a little unique to this year. Some have to do with different products and services that are out there. And hopefully we give you a full picture to help get you ready for draft. And like I tweeted earlier, that's the draft kit tour continues, right? So if you've got any, basics or anything, we might dive into some rankings a little bit as we get closer to the start of the season, maybe recap some preseason games, that kind of thing, transactions, all news and notes and stuff as it goes. But for now, hopefully we just get you some general knowledge, a good base to get you going for your draft.
Well, this is the RotoWire NFL podcast, and of course it's brought to you by WinBet. If there's one thing that we appreciate here at RotoWire, it's making good decisions, and even more so, making the right decisions. So listen up, folks. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WinBet, the premier digital casino and sports app, or sportsbook app, I should say. WinBet is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. WinBet brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more right at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? I'm not sure if you do, but hey, if you do, head into WinBet's digital casino and take a spin on roulette, double down on blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand up a baraka. So WinBet is currently available in six states, while rapidly expanding. At WinBet, the possibilities are limitless. WinBet is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first page, on your first wager. Download WinBet now. That's WynnBet, WinBet, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. Great. Well, you talked about at the top of the show, we have a little bit of news that's breaking. And in fact, it's been a good, past 7 days now for Wisconsin sports in general. This last time we were doing the podcast, we ended with Go Bucks. Of course, they won in game six. And while this is not an NBA podcast, let me just say I'm very proud of my franchise, very proud of my fandom. And here we are now this Tuesday, and we get to be excited about another Wisconsin sports thing because Aaron Rodgers is back at training camp.
I have to believe, and I'm going to go on a mini rant here right off the bat. This is kind of what happens in the day and age when we have to manufacture news. We have to make up news out of a couple indications or a couple things. Now, everybody in Wisconsin has seen the Dan Patrick interview with Adam Schefter because, if we backtrack a little bit, Schefter back on draft day decided he was going to report that Rodgers was upset and wanted out of Green Bay, didn't want to play for Green Bay this next season. Of course, he looked like a huge hack after that whole thing. Now, I don't know if the network forced him to go ahead and make some news before draft day or if this is what he felt was appropriate and he needed to do, but, when he's interviewed by Dan Patrick and Dan Patrick asks him the specifics of, you know, where did you get this? What's making you report this? He was very skittish and he did not have great answers. So I would go ahead. I'd bet Schefter hasn't gone back on there since then, but I'd go ahead and look at that if you kind of needed something, at least that as a Wisconsin sports and a Packer fan, you know, longtime season ticket holder, that's what made me think, okay, maybe there's some not truth to this. Now, then we come back, we fast forward to, you know, we're camp starting, of course, this week. We have got, you know, the Ian Rappaport, the other side coming out that says Rodgers indicated to people close to him that he does plan to play for
Green Bay. Can I pause you for a second? Yeah, I saw this on Reddit, and kudos to whoever said it. The indicate as opposed to just like telling somebody that this is what he feels like. The wording is so dumb. Like the Reddit user is like, I'm just picturing Aaron Rodgers holding a Packers jersey and like staring deep into his gardener's eyes and just pointing. He's like, it's the implication. He's indicating. He's not just telling them.
Yeah, but then we're starting to get other different rumors. Now, again, you know, if I'm going to take, you know, rip on one reporter that reports what I like and one that I does that's reporting what I don't like, I want to try to be a little bit balanced here. But there's been the reports of a rework deal also in place here that could keep him around for a few more years. And, I mean, this obviously has huge fantasy implications. It goes down the entire list of Packers players. So, I mean, Rodgers right now and, of course, the Packers' corresponding weapons, they've been falling in ADP in early drafts here, and it's definitely reflected that. I mean, in the NFFC, Rodgers is 74 overall. It's probably better to look at him as QB9 because of the quarterback-heavy, you know, scoring in that type of format. And quarterback 9 is historically an early 8th-round draft pick, you know, if you look at the last few years of ADP. So that I expect to see on the rise here pretty soon. Aaron Jones was 13 overall, RB10. I would not be surprised at all if the last couple of weeks before the regular season he sneaks into the first round. Yes, there's the AJ Dillon concern, but remember Jamal Williams is out of town. He wasn't going to be, you know, a 25 carry game guy anyway necessarily, especially helpful in PPR leagues. And then Devontae Adams, he's another one that creeps into the first round, number 12 overall. He's wide receiver 2 in ADP. So there's actually not that much to gain, but I think he would have arguably been the consensus top wide receiver on the board if we were going in this whole offseason comfortable with Aaron Rodgers and what he was going to do. So, of course, everybody's on the rise with how he showed up, a reworked deal in place. And then, of course, you got to address the rumors. I think Trey Wingo kind of stirred that up a little bit with the Randall Cobb report. Apparently, the Packers might be trying to trade for Randall Cobb. And, of course, Cobb started his career with Green Bay. He's buddies with Rodgers. Those guys have been tight, you know, going to the Kentucky Derby together. If you see him on Instagram, they're doing their thing. Cobb's salary is going to make that deal difficult. He's currently set to be like an $8.5 million cap hit, and the Packers don't necessarily have that kind of room. I think that's part of the reason that, you know, some of the factors that started this whole thing in the first place were, you know, Packer brass, instead of going to Rodgers and saying, hey, we want to make you the highest quarterback and paid quarterback in the league by a mile. They went to him the offseason and said, hey, can we maybe restructure a little bit and save some cap room? And, you know, allegedly that was one of the many, many things that that rubbed him the wrong way a little bit. But it looks like we're much, much closer to having this relationship being repaired. And sorry to the rest of the NFC North, because you're not going to be making the playoffs if it is.
I'm glad you brought that up. I feel like 70% of the intrigue that has been spun by all the stories, Schefter being one of them, there's been other people who have been leaking information, right? I feel like 70% of that information has been gobbled up specifically by Vikings, Lions, and Bears fans exclusively. Like, maybe the Broncos fans really care about this too, because they seem to be the ones closest to possibly trading for Aaron Rodgers. But I don't know. I feel like there's some jealousy happening from the NFC North when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. I'm all for it, because it certainly seems like he's coming back for at least this year. There was two points that I wanted to discuss. And first, it's weird that Trey Wingo is the one leaking the Randall Cobb thing, right? Like, what affiliation does Trey Wingo have at all with Aaron Rodgers? You were dunking on Adam Schefter, and rightfully so, for his lack of reporting correctly, it feels like, in this instance. Couldn't we say the same thing for Trey Wingo, who we have really no reason to believe he has a connection with Rodgers?
Well, the only reason I bring that up is because there were reports that came out later that actually corroborated that. We've got Tom Pelissero of NFL Network here. As of, you know, this afternoon, the Packers are working on a trade to acquire Cobb from the Texans. And, of course, there's so many complications going on with this. But at least it was, you know, corroborated later by other legitimate reporters. I just kind of got to mention him because he was one of the first guys that I saw that was mentioning that. So it's pretty crazy that's going on and that we're continuing to do this. But again, it all goes back to the daily 24-hour news cycle.
You know, yeah.
Debate shows and NFL Live, they need something to put on their lead. And if you lead your show in with Aaron Rodgers and make it seem like something new is actually happening with him, people are going to stay tuned in longer because that's what Aaron Rodgers does. So I'm glad I could get this off my chest on the air a little bit. Sorry, but not sorry to anybody I ripped on in that last rant. And hopefully we can move on with this with Rodgers.
Well, the other thing I was going to say, do we have a finalized reworking of the contract? I think we have a lot of ideas and things that supposedly could be in there. But from what I can tell, nobody has actually said, this is what this contract will look like. I've heard 2023 is a voidable year, which is fine because at least the when they took Jordan Love, the expectation has always been if you're going to move Rodgers, it would be the following year when the dead cap penalties would be less than they were. So to me, nothing has really changed. This was more of a way to make it seemed like Aaron Rodgers had won when in reality he had zero leverage and didn't parlay it into much else except maybe more team control if it means acquiring Randall Cobb and others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. You know, I don't have the exact numbers right now. Some have been floated around, of course, naturally. But it seems like they're going to get him. Yeah, it's 2022 and 2023. He just wants a significant say over his future, and that's something big. So, you know, good for him. He can at least come out seeming like he won, and then both sides can move forward with something advantageous.
Cool. All right, so other news that happened at least yesterday, we now officially see Michael Thomas will be out, was placed on the PUP list. We're anticipating until at least September. I know the Aaron Rodgers situation has everyone hot and heavy about following that and the mismanagement from the organization's perspective, but the way Michael Thomas has handled his injury and the fact that he's now just getting surgery when it was something that happened, I think, in their playoff game or around then, is an interest, or a couple weeks before that point, is interesting to say the least, and I think speaks more to the Saints front office or the way they're managing things in a negative light. With Michael Thomas out for a couple weeks at minimum, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it seems like he'll probably miss most of the preseason and be looking at maybe week one here. It's interesting to me because early on in draft season and early best balls, I was pretty high on Michael Thomas as a wide receiver 10. You know, I like him better. You know, I don't know. Assuming Jameis wins the job, of course, he's probably a little bit better with Jameis here. But now I'm a little worried because a few things happened. They signed Chris Hogan to add to their wide receiver depth here. And, man, there's just not a whole lot else on that team as far as pass-catching options here. You could easily see Alvin Kamara's value extending, continuing to trend upward because of this. He might probably be the biggest beneficiary if Michael Thomas ends up missing a week or two. And, yes, for the reasons you said, I'm also a little bit worried on Michael Thomas, especially a wide receiver 10. Will I start drafting Terry McLaurin, Allen Robinson, CeeDee Lamb, Mike Evans ahead of him? I guess I'm not quite ready to do that yet, but, you know, I'm starting to think more about it, I guess you could say.
When the report first came out, it was something like 6 to 8 weeks, which was putting him at maybe weeks 5 or 6 or 7. So I had moved him in my rankings, which again are going to be in Yahoo either now or they're going to be soon throughout the rest of the season. I had moved him down to somewhere in the 72 or to 75 range. I don't have it pulled up right now. And I was thinking, man, this is like wild. This is pretty darn low. I think guys in that same range were like Jamar Chase, there's a couple. Mike Williams, I think Mike Williams is lower. And it's like, well, no brainer. If it's the Michael Thomas that we've seen with Drew Brees, that's a complete value. But that's the other part of this complication that we don't really know. It sounds like, and I've seen a few reports, that Taysom Hill might be your starting quarterback for the Saints, at least to begin the season. And if that's the case, I'm not really feeling confident about Michael Thomas at all. I know Thomas did great against the Falcons of all teams last year when Taysom Hill was the starting quarterback, but that was really one game. And I think when it comes to talented throwers, Jameis Winston makes far more sense. So if it is Taysom Hill starting, that's now two things that I'm worried about when it comes to Michael Thomas's value as wide receiver 10, like you mentioned.
Yeah, and now both of those news items make me think, Okay, let's move Alvin Kamara up the rankings, but I just double-checked to be sure. He's number three overall in ADP for PPR leagues behind McCaffrey and Cook. You really can't move him up that much more. You know, maybe you can move him up a little bit in non-PPR leagues just because of the pure volume, but I would be comfortable drafting him three overall in just about any kind of format. I guess that's as bold as I'll go with that.
Yeah, Alvin Kamara, not Michael Thomas, right?
Yeah, Alvin Kamara. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get at. It's like all this Thomas news, maybe it's going to be Hill, no Thomas for early on. Like all this news, like on paper, makes you think, okay, I need to draft Alvin Kamara more. And there's just not a whole lot of room for his ADP to grow, I guess.
Fair enough. Also, Amari Cooper was placed on the PUP list, although it sounds like he's going to be closer to a mid-August return. He should be ready for the start of the season, which is great because my dynasty team is led by two wide receivers, Michael Thomas and Amari Cooper, not the one that we are in, a different one. It's just an interesting situation to see some of these upper echelon guys kind of get worked back into shape, more or less. I guess in the case of Michael Thomas, he is having surgery. I don't know. What's your take on Amari Cooper? There's CeeDee Lamb. People love Michael Gallup as well, too. Dak Prescott's back. Ezekiel Elliott looks better than ever. And I've heard that repeatedly because I already have a Culver's board bet down on the J.K. Dobbins outrushes Ezekiel Elliott. So there's a lot to talk about with the Dallas offense, and I think Amari Cooper being out for even an extended period of the regular season, which is not the case now, but you know how these injuries tend to be. It's an interesting dilemma.
Yeah, I believe where things are at right now with his return date, at least on RotoWire, and it might have even been Jerry Jones, I think they're optimistic they can get him in one preseason game. So I think, you know, if we push pause today, July 27th, Cooper would be back before Thomas. So, you know, at ADP 41 overall, or 42 overall, excuse me, that doesn't really change my view there a little bit. Now, when I start to get in the Amari Cooper, Julio Jones debate, that starts to become difficult for me. Amari Cooper, Robert Woods. Man, I really got to sort these things out because I don't think that we should discount Cooper too much.
That's fair. Let's talk a little bit Marlon Mack. He is a full participant at training camp for the Colts. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor is your stud guy, mid-first round pick at the moment with his ADP. But Marlon Mack was the starter. I feel like few people remember that. To begin last year, and of course he had the Achilles, or yeah, it was the ACL or the Achilles injury. I keep going over the two. He had the Achilles injury, put him down for the season. It was really only towards the latter part of the year when Jonathan Taylor really took over the reins from Nyheim Hines and Jordan Wilkins. But here we are now. Marlon Mack is back. He is on a contract year. The Colts were able to re-sign him pretty cheaply. I don't know. I don't think it's crazy at all to say Marlon Mack will be a contributor in some facet for this Colts offense. And I think his role directly comes at the expense of Jonathan Taylor. Not that I want to have Jonathan Taylor lower, but now Marlon Mack being confirmed for training camp and practicing and participating, that makes a difference, I think, as much for Marlon Mack as it is for Jonathan Taylor's fantasy value.
Yeah, I think personally, you know, on my big board, because of the news that we just discussed, I'm probably bumping Kamara ahead of Jonathan Taylor, maybe even in non-PPR, but Jonathan Taylor is still a first-round pick. This is a team that's, I would guess, if you had to predict some of the most run-heavy teams, like right up there with Minnesota, I think the Colts will be there. So, I mean, how do you think the Colts are going to do this season? If they're going to be a winning team, absolutely Jonathan Taylor will stay in the upper echelon of backs here. But if they're, I don't know, in my eyes, I see Marlon Taylor as the pass catcher, but I think they both catch a little bit of passes a little bit, so that'll kind of, you know, just to set that misconception maybe straight. But, yeah, I mean, Marlon Taylor will get his touches, but he won't take away from – or, I'm sorry, Marlon Mack will get his touches, but he won't take away from Jonathan Taylor any more than, like, Jamal Williams took away from Aaron Jones, or I expect A.J. Dillon to take away from Aaron Jones this year. I guess set it – bring it all back to the Packers and try to do an analogy there. But, I know I'm not that worried, and I'll still use a first-round pick with a lot of confidence.
I guess I'll say I don't feel great about taking Aaron Jones in the first round. So if you are comparing those two, if you are saying Marlon Mack could have as big of a difference as A.J. Dillon or Jamal Williams did last year, that does have me concerned. And we'll probably have Taylor, who is, I think, my running back five or overall six, something in that range, probably more to that 10, 11, 12 back into the first round type of deal. However, the Colts like to lean on at least one guy. Like if it is Jonathan Taylor as the hot hand, and it certainly was towards the end of last season, they're going to use him pretty successfully and I think often, whereas the Packers offense is a little bit different. They almost feel like they have to give Aaron Jones a certain amount of breaks or reps off, and I don't think that Colts offense does the same thing. Will Marlon Mack be a factor? Yes, but I think of Marlon Mack more as a pretty good backup, right? We can't say the H word. You've talked about that a couple times now. I think Marlon Mack makes more sense as an Alexander Mattison type, a Tony Pollard type, that if Jonathan Taylor were to go down, then you're going to see Marlon Mack have significantly more usage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you.
Darrell Henderson now a possible three-down back, which is interesting because when reports came out that Cam Akers would be done for the season, everyone's like, all right, go ahead and sign Le'Veon Bell. Go ahead and have a Todd Gurley Rams reunion. Maybe they'll go ahead and trade for James Robinson. Oh, wait, hold on. Pump the brakes. It looks like Henderson could be possibly in the three-down mix, and I think that's great right now for his current ADP, which I think rests in that 7 to 10 range, but we talked about this last week. That's a situation where if he moves all the way up to rounds 4, 5, 6, I'm out. What do you think about his possible three-down workload, though?
Yeah, so I just ran the numbers here, and if you take ADP all the way back from February until now, from after the Super Bowl until now, Henderson was at 126. If you take ADP over the last 7 days alone, Henderson is up at 54. That's a little bit aggressive for me because I still think that they signed someone. This could probably just be coach speak to give him maybe more leverage in trade talks to make it be like, well, we don't really need this extra guy, so we can really only give you a 6th-round pick for him, that kind of thing. I'm not changing him a little bit in this news. And if anything, I think the market's maybe overreacted a little bit here because you're going to see some combination of other guys in this offense.
This is putting you on the spot, but do you have the running backs around that range that you would be debating between Henderson or X player or even wide receivers at that point too? You said ADP 54 over the last 7 days. Yep. So I'm thinking mid fourth, fifth round.
Yeah. So the three players ahead of him at ADP 54 are Javonte Williams, Tyler Lockett, and Adam Thielen. The three players below him at 54 are Kyle Pitts, Myles Gaskin, Jamar Chase, Kareem Hunt, T. Higgins, Mike Davis. I don't know. I think Mike Davis might have a better grasp on that, even with the injury and stuff. I think Mike Davis, clearly the Falcons added him and very little else. So I guess, you know, if you had it, you know, you put me on the spot for someone 6 apart, I still might lean towards Mike Davis and let the market overreact on Henderson.
Well, see, you mentioned Mike Davis. I actually like Myles Gaskin way more. I'd take Myles Gaskin over Javonte Williams. The Javonte Williams hype is too much. And I know Mario Puig has been all over this, and he's been talking about on the Thursday shows. If you've been listening to the RotoWire NFL podcast throughout the offseason, you know that most of the smartest people here at the office and here at HQ don't care for Javonte Williams. I am among that group, not the smart ones, but the ones saying, hey, Javonte Williams way too high right now, especially with Melvin Gordon around. I love Myles Gaskin, though. I think you look at the language coming out of Miami, it seems like a foregone conclusion that he is going to be the workhorse starter. And I don't know if that really means, especially if Tua takes that step, that the Dolphins need him to. Maybe they're going to be a little bit more pass heavy. But I think Gaskin can be a pass catcher and he can be a runner. And I think that makes a huge difference. I would much rather have him over Javonte and over Henderson. And I think over Mike Davis too. But that's a different conversation. We can get to our actual rankings maybe in a different podcast. Moving through the rest of the news, not surprisingly, Najee Harris has been listed atop the Steelers depth chart. That was about as much of a layup as anything throughout the offseason, especially when the Steelers invest a first-round pick into him. I've seen him go as high as, I think, 10, like pick 10 overall in standard leagues. But I guess it depends. Like if you're thinking PPR, most people playing points per reception league this year, maybe that's a little bit lower. I have to imagine he's going to be more of a pass catcher in that Steelers offense too, though. So it can go either way. What's your value on Najee Harris?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much late first round in standard, maybe a little after in PPR. I don't really have any strong feelings with him necessarily. It's great. He went to the perfect spot, obviously, to get all the reps here. I don't see him being threatened by Benny Snell or Anthony McFarland or Jalen Samuels or Kalen Ballage or any of those annoying fantasy names that, you know, we've been forced to talk about on our waiver wire podcast over the years here. But I think this team is going to be, I think Big Ben's got 1 year left, well, at least one good year left. The weapons are definitely there. Of course, Juju's sticking around. I think the offense is going to be great, and there's going to be plenty of goal line opportunities for him to go ahead and get his. So I think he's priced appropriately, as in late first round standard and mid second round PPR.
Okay. That's kind of where I'm at too. I think that you talked about Aaron Jones as a late first round guy. I would rather have Najee Harris over him, but I'll take DeAndre Swift and Dobbins over both those guys. And I think both are going after at the moment. I'd have to check the current ADPs. And you know, as more of these podcasts start up from other competitors, or maybe they're just listening to our beautiful voices and saying, oh, wow, Jake and Joe know what I'm talking about. You're going to see some of these guys get pushed up higher. I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up being a situation where Dobbins and Swift fall lower, and even an Edwards-Helaire, right, too, the same type of draft class last year. And you could have a Najee Harris and Aaron Jones at the back end of the first round. I wouldn't be surprised at the end of August for having that conversation too. So we'll get back to the news that actually occurred today. Odell Beckham, Logan Thomas signing right after a word from our sponsors.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, so Odell Beckham, he is not on the PUP list. That's fantastic news, unlike the Amari Cooper, Michael Thomas stuff. Odell missed most of last season and really has had a disappointing tenure with the Browns. But when I look at a guy like Baker Mayfield in particular, I think Baker has a chance to jump higher than his current ADP, which is around quarterback 12 to 14. It really depends. They're all pretty close to each other. What do you think about this Odell news? And then what do you think really about what could Baker Mayfield's best case scenario look like if Odell is healthy?
Now, normally, you know, you'll see a lot of those don't draft. This is my don't draft list pod, or avoid these players at all costs. And a lot of people, Odell Beckham's been a popular guy to pick on with those lists lately. I will always say on our podcast that there is a price that will pay for everyone. And if I end up getting Odell Beckham in the fifth or sixth round, I can probably, maybe the sixth round. If I can get him in the sixth round, I can definitely live with that. And I just think that this Cleveland team on paper is set to be a winner. They've got all the pieces on both sides of the balls, on both sides of the ball. And, Baker Mayfield continues on their trajectory and they can somehow stay healthy. Obviously, that's a big if. This could be one of the few times in Odell Beckham's career he is on a winning team. And I think if you get him on a winning team, he'll stay focused. He's more likely to, not sit out of practice because of minor bumps and bruises. I'm going to be out there with his teammates. Keeps his head in the game. I mean, there's all these X-factor things with Odell Beckham where you got the flash and the panache and all this stuff. But I think putting him on a winner could actually lead to one of the more successful seasons of his career. Now, he is he's only 28, too. People think he's been around longer than that. He came in young into the league. He's got to come off that knee injury, but the knee injury isn't going to affect the great hands that he has and he can show he has. And it could very well be a good year for him. So, yeah, I'll play with it. I'll toy with the idea of taking him in the sixth round this year, especially if the receiver position is set and he's the best guy available.
I'm right there with you. I'm not opposed to drafting Odell Beckham. And again, I think the upside scenario for Baker Mayfield directly works with Odell Beckham. And I don't think the price is too high. In fact, if you really wanted to stack that Browns offense, I think I saw on Twitter, Jerry Donabedian, who does a lot of great work for us, is going to be putting together like stack specific articles, or maybe it's Mario. Like, what would it take to stack the Chiefs offense? What would it take to stack the Browns offense, for example, or the Titans or something like that? I would be really interested because I don't think the Browns offense really acquires that much. It's like a mid first round pick for Nick Chubb feels like the hardest part. And then you're able to maneuver around to get Kareem Hunt or any of the wide receivers, the pass catchers for that team. I'd be interested. And I think that stack could work because you're right. They are going to be competitive this year. That division doesn't look as great because I know you said Ben Roethlisberger maybe has one more year. I'm right there with you, but I think we're talking like this has to be the last year. That defense might not be as good. The Ravens might not be as good defensively too. And their schedule is not great, but it's not super difficult either. It's somewhere in between. So I kind of like the Browns as a team that could be among the final four or final eight, at least be able to build off of what they did last year. I think that's kind of a fair statement to make. Logan Thomas, the tight end for the Washington football team, signed a 3-year extension coming right off his breakout season. Of course, he was a former quarterback turned tight end, so it's an impressive deal for Logan Thomas. I'm worried that the workload almost has to be less than we saw last season because Washington has so many more pass catchers and more weapons than they ever did before. And it's not like Ryan Fitzpatrick really uses his tight ends all that much. Mike Gesicki was, I think a pretty like, I mean, he was so high variance last season, but I felt like most of his big games came when Tua was at quarterback. So I'm a little bit worried about Logan Thomas overall. I'm not really like Dallas Goedert. I love significantly more. There's a few of those guys like Anthony Firkser, Jonnu Smith, that are tight ends like 13 through 16 that I'd almost rather have that, as opposed to investing a high pick in Logan Thomas. But at least the 3-year extension is a good deal for him, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Just another noteworthy item of the day. Look, again, looking now, let's go back to ADP, guys. I want to compare Noah Fant right up one ahead of Logan Thomas. Logan Thomas is at 9. I agree with that. I'd have Fant over Thomas. Thomas is ahead of Higbee and Tonyan, but Tonyan could be sneaking into that top 10 with Rodgers back. That's a guy that we didn't hit in the lead of the show. So, you know, right around tight end 10, which is borderline tight end 1. I'm not necessarily drinking the Kool-Aid yet. I'll have him, but it has to be at a fair price.
No open competition in San Francisco. It seems that Jimmy Garoppolo is set to be the starter. He's beginning camp, at least with the starters. And I think we talked about last week, I have far too many friends that are Rams. I also have far too many 49ers fans for as many times as the 49ers have decimated my playoff hopes as a Packers fan. And the surrounding or prevailing thought from all those guys is Garoppolo will be here this year for certain. It's next year. Are they going to trade him to the Patriots? That really is the only likely conclusion that seems to be drawn. And I agree, that kind of seems like a possibility. But for this season alone, it's Trey Lance, who they drafted number 3 overall, as the backup, and it's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo, the starter. And especially in deeper best ball leagues, like I've done a few of those 30-round best ball leagues in the NFFC formats, Garoppolo is going in like round 20 or 21, and that's after Lance. That's after Justin Fields, who I think is going to have a bit of a slower start to his career with the Bears. And a few of those other guys, I think Garoppolo makes complete sense in your two QB leagues, especially if we know he will be the starter and will be the starter all season long. Do you agree with me, though, that he's going to be the starter for most of the season?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I generally respect the franchise, and I think the 49ers are mostly, you know, a smart franchise, and smart franchises sit their rookie quarterbacks their first year. They're not going to draft Justin Fields and make him set unruly expectations of taking them to the playoffs. You know, the most successful quarterbacks often have to sit for a good part of the first year. Now, and that's a huge blanket statement. You know, we're doing this show live on YouTube, and you could probably pick apart a couple examples to the otherwise. But, no, I'm just saying that it's best for him to sit down a year and learn, as is best for the vast majority of quarterbacks here. And, sure, in that case, Garoppolo, he's not a guy you're really touching in your 12-team redraft leagues. But when we get into specific formats, sure, if you went in with QB2, I couldn't really blame you for it.
A couple of other injury-related news that we saw come today as we're doing the podcast here on a Tuesday. Cortland Sutton is expected to be close to 100% already as Denver kicks off their training camp and likely will be a participant in at least one of the 3 preseason games this season. That's great news. Obviously, Sutton missed almost all of last season with the torn knee. I think it was like ACL and MCL. It was one of those really bad ones, certainly ACL. I like Sutton because you could buy low in a dynasty format. I haven't done a redraft where I've been super excited to get Sutton. The issue ends up being Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater as the quarterback, but the pass catchers the Broncos have, whether it be Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick certainly came around. You mentioned Noah Fant as well too. And then Hamler on top of that, KJ Hamler. I love all those guys. I think that actually makes Sutton a little bit less valuable than he was 2 years ago when he was one of the more emerging young wide receivers in the NFL.
Yeah, and like I said, I love Noah Fant too, and I think he's going to be one of my higher rostered players once I get, you know, a bigger sampling of drafts inside and ready to go. So that's tough, but I do agree. Last year, if you're taking Cortland Sutton in the second, third round, you're buying at his absolute top price. And yeah, you got to count on him coming back from an ACL injury, but at 25, your limbs can just snap right into place, right back into place. That's how that works, right? But no, if he's ready already, I remember seeing him, you know, the eye test for sure. Individually, he passes the eye test. He makes some phenomenal catches out there, but there are questions about pass catching competition and overall level of quarterback play. But the whole Drew Lock situation is not going to make me shy off Noah Fant. Probably not going to make me shy off Cortland Sutton if he comes up in that area, ADP 76. So hopefully that gives you a good frame of reference. DJ Shark right ahead of him. Raheem Mostert, Matt Stafford, Robbie Anderson right behind him.
Curtis Samuel was placed in the PUP list to start training camp for Washington. That's obviously one of their big ticket free agent signings. And Curtis Samuel will add a lot of flexibility to the offense, probably in a better way than J.D. McKissick did last year. But if he's injured in any way, that's interesting because a lot of people have been pushing up Samuel, maybe rightfully so, as more or less a sleeper. I know us in the fantasy community hate using that word because at this point, with all the knowledge that's out there, the 24/7 news cycle you mentioned, like with Rodgers, but really the weekly editions of podcasts, much like these throughout the entire offseason.
That's a great rant on that. There's no such thing as a sleeper anymore, right?
Exactly.
Football. Everybody knows the player pool well enough. Like you said, there's enough information out there. You know, it's more bold to call busts for your bust columns than your sleeper.
I would say Samuel would be listed among many of the sleepers that other companies might do out there. But if he's going to be missing some of training camp, are you worried at all based off his ADP and what that role could look like? Especially, you'd imagine the learning curve that has to happen. Again, he was doing carries out of the backfield for Carolina last season. Not that Washington's going to be doing that this year, but the idea, or that's one of the reasons why you're offering him such a big deal in the offseason, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of variables going on here, and of course you have Scary Terry as the unquestioned target leader. How much do you buy the Logan Thomas hype? So you're right, and I think Antonio Gibson will catch his fair share of passes too. Right now, Samuel, ADP-wise, we're looking at below the likes of Will Fuller and Deebo Samuel, just ahead of the likes of Marquise Brown, Laviska Shenault, Brandon Cooks, those kinds of players here. So I don't know. I think the market will react a little bit to it, but I'm willing to give it a couple preseason games to see if he can maybe get into one of those in action. I don't know if we have an exact return date on him, but just because of the way he relies on his pure athleticism so much, I'd like to see some kind of sign that he's healthy, at least back on the practice field, before I overpay for him, at least.
I'm right there with you. And this one was just hot off the press. Not that many people are going to care about, but Justin Jackson, the backup or third string backup for the Chargers, was placed on the COVID-19 list. Obviously, it's different than it has been in past years, and maybe he's able to go ahead and play before the end of the preseason. But this was a running back that I don't think people realized was going to be the backup. I think this was a shoe-in, absolute layup. Going to be the backup over Joshua Kelly, the fourth-round pick last year for the Chargers, behind Austin Eckler. Now, if he ends up missing time and significant time at that, Justin Jackson, we're going to see a situation where Kelly, who was the more highly drafted one, will maybe earn his spot in there. It's not like this coaching staff drafted Joshua Kelly last year, that everything's been changed around with the Chargers. I have been saying for a while Justin Jackson was going to be the backup. This might be a bigger deal than many people might imagine right now if Jackson's to miss some time. So just mentioning that for anybody out there, anyone cares about their Chargers backups, there you go.
I was going to say, I don't really have a take on this. I'm going to leave Chargers backups to you, Joe. You're the expert on that.
I figured that was going to be the case. So let's get a word from our sponsors, Dynasty Owner, before we really get into the meat of the podcast here. Are you tired of the same old fantasy football leagues that get canceled after every year or so? If you are interested, or you are sick of that stuff, I should say, Dynasty Owner has got your back. Go to DynastyOwner.com. New leagues for the 2021 season are forming now. Dynasty Owner unites the fun and excitement of fantasy football with the skill and strategy of the front office by incorporating a salary cap and real NFL player salaries for diehard fantasy football fans that want the real GM experience. Dynasty Owner adds a whole new level of strategy. I'm in that league. Jerry Donabedian's in a Dynasty Owner league. I've been enjoying it. Unfortunately, I have Michael Thomas and Amari Cooper, so we're already possibly set back for this year, but I'm looking forward to trying to build up the rest of the team. Are you worried you won't be able to find anyone to play in your league? Well, don't worry, because Dynasty Owner can help fill your league with fantasy football enthusiasts like yourself. You won't have to worry about finding enough players. You can actually choose to start a league, join an existing one, or purchase a team from a previous owner. And if you're serious about joining the big leagues, go to DynastyOwner.com and start your dynasty today. Again, I've been enjoying that format. I took, I think it was 6 out of the like Roto experts that participated last year, and I had a lot of fun with that. So it one of those leagues you definitely want to check out. Definitely friend of the podcast, but I've had a good time with it, personal experience. All right, so the podcast we talked about, really the topic where we went over all the news and notes that happened the last 2 days, was some do's and don'ts that you should do, or don't, for your fantasy football drafts. Now, as you can see behind Jake's left shoulder, if you're watching on YouTube, the Fantasy Football Magazine for the new year has come in. You can certainly get one of those yourselves if you are subscribed to the site. I don't know if there's even going to be that many at the stores locally. Normally, there's a ton.
I'll say we are doing newsstands this year.
Okay.
Of course, you can also go to rotowire.com. You can get /magazine and purchase the magazine there. We'll also give you a digital download if you contact support. And if you're a RotoWire subscriber already, you can go and purchase the magazine at a discounted rate. I believe it's $3 or $4 cheaper. So a lot of different packages to pick from. But we're ready to roll here with the magazine.
Yeah, with the magazine here, that really is like the official start of fantasy football season. Not that it hasn't been starting for me, and I know probably for you like a couple of weeks back or even longer. But for people that are really just getting back into fantasy football, we go over all these news and notes. Great. A lot of people, I think, are learning and trying to get an understanding of how to be successful. I mean, that's why you listen to these podcasts, or you're just crazy and enjoy listening to our voices as much as you do, which is great. I'm not going to knock you for that. There's a couple of things that I've learned throughout my years of being a football expert, fantasy football expert, and certainly, Jake, I think you can say the same thing. What helps to be successful? Not that it's going to always guarantee to win or anything like that. Certainly, injuries happen, everything else like that. But these are some tips and tricks that I've learned and that you've learned, Jake, throughout our experience that I think give a baseline that is higher than your average newcomer jumping in. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, you know, some of these are going to be pretty basic, so I'll start out with number one here in a second. But, yeah, I mean, I've been doing this. I think I played my first fantasy football league in second grade. Second grade. We did a four-man league. It was glorious. We saw our dads do it, so we had to keep rolling. I think Ron Dane was taken in that year, you know, former Badger great. But anyway, when starting off with the principles of, you know, do's and don'ts for fantasy leagues, I like to go back to so DJ, our media director, and I used to try to do some recruiting at UW campus nearby. And a lot of people, you'd open it up for questions at the end, and a lot of people would ask, like, what's the one best thing you can do to be more successful at fantasy? And obviously that question has a million different responses for every different fantasy game and all this stuff. But what we agreed to kind of narrow that answer down to was, and that's going to be my number one fantasy football do, is carefully read over your league scoring and roster settings. You know, we're going to give you a bunch of other rules in this whole list of for the whole rest of the show, but there are always exceptions to those rules, and the exceptions always are a result of your roster settings. Is it a two quarterback league? Is it, you know, zero or full PPR? What are the defensive scorings? What are your flex roster settings specifically? We're going to talk about this, you know, so many different things, but like the slightest rule change can make you have to go from your standard search and cheat sheet that you can Google up and just have, or just going by the cheat sheet in your draft room, to a very, very different cheat sheet with a very, very different strategy. And keeper league and keeper league rules affect that very much. Just the roster settings alone, two quarterback versus non-two quarterback. There are so many things that, you know, if you just go and find a cheat sheet that's customized for your league scoring as opposed to the generic one, you're going to be leaps and bounds ahead of the people that do not do that in your league. And that's the first thing you should do when you're joining a football league for the first time. Look at your league settings. Most league hosting pages have this easy, and compare it to the default and see, make note of anything that's different.
I completely agree. I get that same question a lot. I do a lot of those weekly radio hits for RotoWire throughout the season. And now I actually am doing that current strategy that you mentioned, where we're going to recruit different new members for interns and things like that. And I say the same thing. Knowing the rules is huge. And I'm not saying you need to have the rules printed out right next to you as you're going through the draft. Maybe if you are doing it online, I would say suggest that, or at least what's the roster requirements? It's as simple as that. What do you want for your starting lineup? How many people can you have? I think that helps map out what you want to do in that initial draft. But just knowing the rules and the scoring system, there's just not enough people that do that. And fantasy football is fun, right? That's the most played fantasy sport by far across the country. And millions of new people are playing every single year. And it's because it's really easy. And you don't have to know, as much as we want to be experts here and pretend we're high and mighty more than everyone else, you don't have to know a substantial amount of knowledge or information to be successful. But I do think this separates from the top, other than maybe the beginner's luck guys that you have to deal with. Knowing those rules, knowing how to navigate your league and what works best for your system is huge. And it's the first rule, because every other rule builds on top of it. For example, the next do, and you have this in our cheat sheet, but I completely agree. You want to compare your cheat sheets and adjust projections accordingly based off of those scores and rule sets and the league stuff that you have. It's completely different, the custom rankings that we might have, compared to how your league operates. And I don't think enough people understand that.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you know, in a perfect world, everyone goes to RotoWire, downloads, you know, our products and enters their scoring settings in to give you custom rankings. But in the end, you know, most people are Googling or figuring out one way or another to get their cheat sheet. And you can get a generic half point PPR, full point PPR, zero PPR cheat sheet for free if you just Google that in most places out there. Once we get to more complex scoring, it looks fine. But even if you're in a 12-team standard scoring, you know, one of the original traditional basic fantasy football things, you're going to find different cheat sheets all over the place. And then you're also going to look at an ADP set. You know, I refer to that a lot just to give our listeners a frame of reference when we're talking to a player where they're going. But you're going to compare a cheat sheet to an ADP set, and you're going to see a lot of differences. And, you know, I do this in baseball too, so hopefully it helps across sports. The one thing I do is I take, you know, our RotoWire projections and our cheat sheets and, you know, for auction values, or you can do it for your snake drafts too, and I compare it to a few other trusted sources and ADP, and then I find the outliers, and then I look at those outliers specifically, compare them to one another, see if I can read a couple outlooks, a couple notes on them, and then kind of form my own opinion. And a lot of the draft kit products that are out there these days allow you to adjust projections and have the cheat sheets reflected accordingly. And you might be thinking, you know, one team, you know, one source has Najee Harris at 8 overall. One source has Najee Harris at 18 overall in their cheat sheet. So now you got to go ahead and look. Okay, well, the one source has him projected for 13 touchdowns, and the other one only has him projected for 9 touchdowns. You know, on some of our products, and what I like to do, or if you're, you know, crafty at Excel, you know, you can change the projection to whichever one you agree with more, and then he'll move up or down on your cheat sheet based on what you think that projection will be. So, you know, we've got all the tools for that on rotowire.com to help you out with that. And critical thinking is, you know, in anything in life, but definitely in fantasy football, there's no quick, easy magic fix here. You know, you have to form your opinion on these players, and hopefully we offer you all the tools that you might need to do that.
I have more to add with the cheat sheets and adjusting projections and everything else that you mentioned, but it's actually kind of going to be a part of our don't as well. So I'll save my rant until that point. Let's move over to another one of the do's. And it's, I think I'll let you have it, because I have a little bit differing of a take on it. So I'll let you go ahead and discuss one of the things that you think is important to do for this fantasy football season.
Yes, let's get into a little more controversial one. One of the bullet points I put down is, like, if you're snake drafting, I say that you need to draft at least two running backs in the first four rounds. I know a few years ago, you know, some of our guys here started kind of coining the zero RB strategy, where you would punt on running backs, take receivers in your first two picks, maybe grab a quarterback, maybe grab a tight end. But personally, I think that strategy is something that we're going away from and maybe dead moving forward anyway. And the reason I have for that is there are just too many running backs by committee. Finding number one overall, three down backs is the rarest thing in fantasy. There's only 9 or 10 of them maybe, and you're really going to get stuck if you miss on those first two rounds. You know, if you take, you know, I don't mind Kelsey, you know, late second, early first, I guess. But if you take him, if you decide your first two rounds, you're going to take Kelsey, Mahomes, and then you think, maybe I better take a receiver here, you're out on running backs. You're out on the top tier of running backs, and it's really going to hurt you. I'd say go as far. You have to let every draft come to you to some degree. But in general, at most draft picks, your rule of thumb, you want to get two running backs in those first four rounds. Because after Najee Harris, Antonio Gibson, Joe Mixon, Edwards-Helaire, you know, after RB16, we start to run into some really risky, maybe committee type guys, at least players that have threats, you know, in front of them. I mean, 22 and 23 are in ADP right now, Travis Etienne and James Robinson, and they're on the same team, right? So you get past that, and 24 is Kareem Hunt. Guess what? He's on Nick Chubb's team. So you're going to start getting into some really risky scenarios once if you get to the fifth round and you don't have two running backs already in hand. And that's why I put that as a general rule of thumb.
I agree that you need at least one running back in the first two, maybe the first three rounds. I'll concede on that front. But we just talked about Myles Gaskin and Mike Davis were two guys that more or less are locked into their starter roles right now. It can change. And if I'm the front office of the Falcons or Dolphins, for that matter, I'm calling Jacksonville up right now and trying to get James Robinson for a fourth or fifth round pick as the guy. And maybe that takes away one of those options. But there's enough value a little bit later on, and you can go even to something like a Chris Carson, who falls past Miles Gaskin, or Kareem Hunt, certainly in a PPR league, is that same type of value. Chase Edmonds, people are high on for some reason. I'm not super high on, but that's another name out there. I don't think you have to lock yourself into drafting two running backs in the top four rounds, but I do think you need at least one stud guy within those first three, and I'm taking either in round one or two personally because I think I have the knowledge and depth to draft wide receivers a little bit later. I don't need these top end guys to be successful. I do think I need at least top end running back. So that's where I'll concede a little bit to your point, but I'm not willing to give away completely.
I mean, yeah, there's a reason that two out of the top first round, there are only two, three players are not running backs. They continue to be the most important position in the majority of average fantasy football leagues here. And if you're just starting out, you want to make sure you have that position covered. It's a lot tougher to replace on the waiver wire as well.
Do you want to give the final do as well? I'll just toss to you on that one.
Yeah, for sure. So the other one, you know, it's kind of related to the cheat sheet construction and the scoring roster settings, but I do think it is time in the year 2021, it is time to go digital here. Now, the magazine I just showed is an excellent tool. It is a great thing to have, you know, in your magazine rack, in your bathroom, or in your waiting room, for example, on your coffee table. It's great to have that at arm's reach and be able to read player outlooks. That's one of the best things I think you can do as far as early July when your draft might be a few weeks or a month away. Start reading player outlooks. Get familiar, like we did last week, who's changing teams, who's projected to start where, what are the big camp battles and ADP battles I have to watch for. So all that good stuff is great in the magazine, and there's a bunch of excellent individual strategy articles. But when it comes time to your draft in mid to late August, hopefully, you kind of need to go digital because you don't want to be the guy that drags a magazine that was printed 6 weeks ago to the draft and are relying on that and end up drafting Cam Akers or something like that. Now, maybe you'll see that in your draft room. A lot of draft rooms are getting better, you know, of course, at that, especially if they get data from RotoWire. You know, we'll catch you up on all the latest injury situations here. But you got to go digital. And a few things along with that, you know, you want to update your player data on that device. Make sure you're getting the latest news. If you're using a RotoWire app, you know, PC software, Mac software, web-based software, iOS app, you know, all these things that we offer, we can update your data and you'll be set to go. So that's important. Usually, sometimes you want to have a backup device if you're worried that technology is going to fail, or at least a backup charger. Maybe you forget your charger, bring another one. But there are so many digital options right now that the days of paper drafting in fantasy are just about dead, probably should be dead if they're not dead already.
I love the paper magazine, though, if only because I can have it in my hand. It's a great thing to keep. I've personally enjoyed having my name in there. Maybe that's probably part of it. I'm selfishly enjoying it. But you're right. Well, I think it's a good thing to get you started preparing for the fantasy season. And that's the best way to put it. But for the most part, right, let's move digital. And I'll even add saying, can I have a second iPad, a second computer screen? At bare minimum, I want to have the magazine so I can cross off things and also have the computer to look up stuff while I'm drafting, whether that's in person with people or online. I want multiple screens at my disposal so I have a little more flexibility when looking for stuff.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And I mean, today's devices and apps are so advanced that you can do the crossing off on that app, and it's super easy. You can just swipe the player left or right, and we've got you covered. So there's really no excuse to not at least try digital, and your strategy will be changed moving forward.
All right, so those are the do's that you want to do heading into your fantasy football season and your draft in particular. I imagine this is something that you could see on our RotoWire Snapchats out there, things like that, and that Snapchat. What's the one? TikTok. I was going to say, what does the one all the kids do? I'm 28. I can't say that. You could see that on like RotoWire TikTok, things like that, where we're kind of getting you prepared for the fantasy season. In the same type of tone, there's a few things that you shouldn't do to be successful at fantasy football in your league. And I think one of them is scheduling your draft too early. We just saw with the Cam Akers news, Michael Thomas, Amari Cooper. We've gone over a number of names, and we're going to continue to go over a number of names who have been injured or something else like that, and it could drastically affect how you're doing things. We don't even know what's going to happen for the starting rosters from the preseason perspective. All this to say, if you schedule your draft towards the end of August, even in that first week of September if you have to, that's probably the best spot to be successful, have everyone engaged throughout the entire season, and to avoid some of those pitfalls that you mentioned, Jake, where maybe you could draft Cam Akers on accident because you weren't paying attention. That's the best way to avoid it, by scheduling a draft towards the end of August.
Yeah, not everyone's going to be like us and end up with 10, 12, 15 fantasy leagues by the time the season begins here. And, you know, in our position, okay, we can forget about that early July draft. But if it's your only fantasy league and you drafted Cam Akers last week, that's a huge bummer. And it's going to be real tough to stay into it for the entirety of the draft season. So definitely get at least through three preseason games, if at all possible. That's my biggest tip for commissioners.
Another don't, and I completely agree. You put this on our spreadsheet, but obviously don't adhere strictly to a site's listed auction value. Now, we talked about auction drafts last year. We gave a whole big breakdown. You could probably Google it, RotoWire auction draft podcast or something like that. And it'll be Jake and Joe talking about the strategy behind it. And I, maybe you end up doing that this year. I'm not quite sure. Then we can plan those podcasts down the road. But at this time, the idea of just holding true to exactly what your site or whatever else says for the monetary perspective, I think, is incorrect. Like, you need to be flexible with how you're doing auction drafts and how you're planning financially for your leagues. You can't just rely on whatever site, whether it be RotoWire or else, to make those decisions moving forward. It'd be great. Like, I mean, we'd love to automate a draft for you. It doesn't quite work that way. That's why you're doing a draft with other humans and not robots. Right, Jake?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. You know, I get surprised, you know, if I see like customer service complaints, like, why are your auction values so different than auction value Y for a different site? If you're comparing them to a default one as a custom one, of course they're going to be different. Also, one favorite phrase I used to have is I call it like Pirates Code. Now, maybe I'm dating myself with Johnny Depp and Pirates of the Caribbean. That movie came out a while now. I know they put out a million sequels. But anyway, they're not rules. They're more like guidelines anyway. Any site's auction draft that you do, it's Pirates Code, because you might see, you know, you might have Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara all projected, say $61 to $70, right? But people in your league are going to come out and they're going to spend, you know, $85 on them. And then you have to adapt mid-draft to be like, okay, well, this money's going this way. If I don't actually overspend for one of these players, I'm going to get stuck with a team of guys from the fifth through eighth round. And maybe I'll have the most balanced team ever. But without studs, you can't win in fantasy football. You need those guys that'll take you over the top. And that's just one of the many small auction draft tips. Like you said, we can do a whole show on that.
Absolutely. I want to get you did some really insightful knowledge, at least on one particular. But before we do that, let's get a word from our sponsors.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, so you talked about don't draft a quarterback in round one. And we were discussing this off air, and I think it's really important. You put in a little bit of math work on this, and for a guy that is awful at math like myself, you can see on the YouTube stream pointing directly at my head because I'm terrible. This is great, and I loved what you were able to do, at least in reaffirming the idea, do not draft a quarterback in round one of any one of your leagues.
Yeah, you know, and this is another thing that I get asked on, you know, when we do outside radio a lot, like, oh, Patrick Mahomes is the number one fantasy scorer. Why isn't he the number one pick? And, you know, anyone that's experienced enough in fantasy knows the reason for that. It's because of positional scarcity and, you know, and different tiers. You know, the drop off between QB6 and QB10 is never as great as it is between, you know, RB10 and RB14. However you want to do that. But, you know, just looking at the data, I went before this and I compared consensus ADP from fantasyfootballcalculator.com to fantasy scoring overall. And 2017 through 2020, not a single time has the number one fantasy scorer been in the top 10 of quarterback ADP. Not a single time. 2017 was Russell Wilson. 2018 was the Patrick Mahomes breakout. 2019, Lamar Jackson. And 2020 was Josh Allen. Never in any of those 4 years was a top 10 quarterback. And even better, the number one. Now, some of this was due to injuries, but the number one ADP average drafted quarterbacks in the last 4 years has finished fourth in scoring, has finished eighth in scoring, has finished sixth, and has finished 29th due to injury here. So rarely when you make that first-round quarterback move has it paid off, at least in the last 4 years. And last but not least, last season, 2020, was actually a pretty good year because seven of the top 10 ADP quarterbacks actually finished in the top 10 ADP fantasy points. But the 3 years before that, it was only 5 of 10 here. So you can get a serviceable fantasy quarterback in rounds 8, sometimes much even further down the road. Now, again, it all comes back to your scoring format here. If you're in a two-quarterback league, obviously these rules changed entirely. Throw out everything I just said. You need to get your quarterbacks right away. Superflex league is the same way. But that's the shortest and most concise way I can put it. Don't bother with a quarterback in round one. Probably don't even bother with a quarterback in the first four rounds, but definitely want to stay away from that top quarterback. Now, maybe Patrick Mahomes will go out and throw 50 touchdowns and have it be his first fully healthy season since he did lead the league in fantasy scoring back in 2018. But the opportunity cost of drafting Patrick Mahomes in the first round is just way, way too great. You're going to hurt yourself at another skill position that you need. That you need to succeed. So there's my rant on drafting quarterbacks. I'll say something similar every single year. I think that's a principle of fantasy that is never going to change until super flex leagues get widely adopted.
Well, and Justin Herbert's a perfect example too. You mentioned Josh Allen was outside the top 10. Now, pretty much an easy dunk with that one. Justin Herbert along the same light. And Herbert was available when we do the free agent waiver wire podcast every season. Justin Herbert was widely available, and it was like until week two or three when he actually started, when he lit up the Chiefs. Obviously, Tyrod Taylor had the unfortunate medical issue with the Chargers. Then it became Herbert was the starter, and then it became Herbert is a top 10 guaranteed scorer every single week. So that's the type of deal that I think you have to just – I completely agree with you. You have to be recognizing that it's not draft a quarterback in round one because there's value to be found elsewhere. You mentioned Mahomes in 2018, Lamar in 2019. I took Patrick Mahomes in our RotoWire Vegas league. He won me that league. I took Lamar Jackson in number of leagues in 2019, and I have numerous radio cons saying, take Lamar Jackson. He's going to be good value outside the top 10. Everyone could say, oh, yeah, well, you could have done that. I did. I mean, this wasn't hard to see. We can't necessarily guess all the time who is going to be the Mahomes, Lamar, Josh Allen of every year, but we can guarantee there will be one of those guys each season. And I think this further validates the proof that you mentioned, at least with the money stuff. So let's move on, or money stuff, with the data that you provide. Let's move on to another don't. And I completely agree with you on this one, but I'll let you take it away when it comes to kickers.
All right, so kickers, you know, I know there's some people affiliated with the site that like to maybe stretch a little bit for Justin Tucker, and you can listen to their arguments for that, but I am firmly in every kind of snake draft or even auction draft you can apply this in, is you don't take a kicker till your very last pick, because honestly, it doesn't matter. The difference between place kicker 8 and place kicker 18 is often negligible. And if you listen to our waiver wire podcasts all year long, we'll be able to maybe even help you stream kickers a little bit. But even better than not taking a kicker until your last pick, if your league allows it, again, goes into your scoring format. If your league allows it, don't take one at all. You know, if you're still using kickers, you don't necessarily need one unless it's safe. The exception would, of course, be if your draft's like the day before the season starts. But if you're drafting tomorrow, why take a kicker? Why don't you take another sleeper that you could see maybe could get themselves into a better situation? Take a running back, receiver, sleeper, someone whose stock could improve, and then go ahead and make that roster decision of who you're going to cut in advance of week one and get yourself another sleeper on your team. I've done that in every single league that allows me to do that and just added a kicker prior to week one. Of course, it depends on what kind of manager you are, too. You need to be active on the waiver wire. Hopefully, you're listening to us and are getting some help with that. But I'm a big fan of kickers at the end. Let's face it, I'm a big fan of eliminating kickers from fantasy altogether. But if your league's going to go with the standard scoring roster settings on most sites, you're going to have to deal with kickers. I prefer ignoring them until I have to.
Yeah, I get the kicker question all the time when I do my radio hits, too. Shout out to the the guys over in Syracuse, the Man-Child Show, where they keep asking me, oh, should I draft a kicker in round 8? No, stop. I don't want to hear it. Don't be that person. This is my biggest rant, I think, in again, probably makes for a better TikTok than a podcast thing. Don't be that guy that says, oh, I got my 2 running backs. Now I need my 3 wide receivers, a tight end, quarterback. Oh, now I need kicker and defense. You have to be able to read the draft better, whether it be your league mates or the ADP, the software that you're drafting on. It's not going to recommend, and if it does, you're not drafting the right place to fill out your full lineup. You can get bench guys. You can get trade assets for other people. You do not need to take a kicker in rounds 8, 9, 10, or 11. I don't care if it's Justin Tucker. I don't care if it's a combination of Tucker, Adam Vinatieri, and the Waterboy guy who just is insane and can kick from 60 yards out. It does not matter. You can find actionable kickers later on and still get really valuable depth pieces on your bench at different portions throughout that later draft, right? That rounds 9 through 12, 13, 14. I will consider taking a kicker like 2 or 3 rounds before, but any point before then, I think you are dumb for doing it, and I do not care if I'm insulting somebody. I think it's just ridiculous because the value you're getting is not that big.
And I know a lot of our more, you know, advanced experienced listeners are probably going to be like, well, duh, why are you guys even talking about this if they're even still tuned in? But like you said, Joe, you seem to get that question every year. I get that question every year. Analyst types, whether they're doing an AMA or a quick hit or a guest show on a non-fantasy specific show, some people like to have, you know, the fantasy episode, and, you know, they want to ask those questions here. It still needs to be said. So I'm glad we're covering it.
The last one, and this is really, I thought, building off of one of our dues, don't be the guy who relies too heavily on the ADP or the average auction value. And it just bears repeating, there are different sites out there, and if you are drafting on, say, ESPN, a player might be higher based off of their average draft or their ADP platform than Yahoo. And that goes back to learn your league setting or learn your league rules, but also learn the leagues that you're drafting on, because that's going to be a major difference. I would go ahead and click on the ESPN value, especially if you're doing a snake draft, and see where their ADP is. And if you have to move up a player higher in your tier or rankings to adjust for that, do that. The same thing goes for Yahoo or other places like that. But don't be a slave to drafting just based off the ADP. I think that's a massive mistake. Far too many smart people tend to do that I see in this industry.
We're using ADP on this show a lot just as a frame of reference for players, you know, as we start to kind of get our toes wet into this fantasy season. But there is a time and a place for ADP, and there's a time and a place where you shouldn't even touch it. The time and the place for it is, okay, I have self-determined the sleepers that I want to take, the guys that I'm going to target in drafts. What you will do then is use ADP to kind of determine where you'll be able to take them. So, like, you might have a player ranked as your 35th overall player, but if ADP has him at 75, you can probably wait until the 5th, maybe 6th round to take them. You know, that's what you use ADP for. You do not use ADP as a cheat sheet. And part of the reason is, like you said, so many ADP sources out there, and it's very rare, especially if your league has unique scoring rules, to find one that perfectly adapts to it. So what you can do is you can find a site that lets you choose ADP by date. There are plenty of them out there. And then you, from there, you need to find one that not only lets you pick by date, so you can get the last couple weeks to most recent month of ADP data, so you're not grabbing ADP data from March, April, May, you know, so you're not getting that. You find a site that takes your last couple of months or your last couple of weeks even, close to your scoring system as possible, and use that as a rough guideline as to where you're going to have to take those players. And, you know, honestly, using your league hosting sites default draft room might help you execute the same purpose either. It's to determine not necessarily when to take players, but when you'll have to take players, especially players that you value more than the rest of the field. So that's the role of it. It's not your cheat sheet. Some people think, well, there's been a million mock drafts on this site. They're going to have an ADP. Let's just do what the public does. The public is wrong, guys. Newsflash here. So again, time and a place for it, not as your cheat sheet.
Yeah. I completely agree. So that does it for us on the do's and don'ts for your fantasy drafts. And again, I really could see this being a great RotoWire TikTok forum. So you could see one of our ugly mugs going ahead and breaking the same thing down on a few of our other newer social channels. But I thought this would be a good entry point for a lot of people just getting into fantasy football right now. I think that really is a great barometer for us. And what we try to do is get new people involved in fantasy football and kind of getting them thinking the way experts do. Now, Maybe they have different opinions on players than we might, which is great. But at least you can have the same type of knowledge that we believe can make you successful and put you in a good spot to be able to win. And I guess our tagline is always dominate our fantasy leagues. I think that's our goal for this podcast. So I appreciate you guys tuning in. Again, if you want a free subscription to the site, or at least for a 10-day trial, you can go to rotowire.com/try. It's on the YouTube screen right down there. Exactly. And it would be great always if you can rate and review the podcast. And help us out. Of course, this podcast was sponsored by WinBet as well. And we'll be back next week to give you another little indicator for some of those new guys in fantasy football to get you more comfortable. So thank you for listening, everyone.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.